evangelism is defined as the zealous preaching and dissemination of the gospel as through missionary work, having a militant zeal for a cause. You know how sometimes we can be militant about everything else, but not militant about the things of God. But we want to become militant for the things of God. Evangelism and outreach works hand in hand. Evangelism and outreach is simply reaching out to the world, spreading the love of God through word and deed. Evangelism is not merely a title. The Lord himself gave the gift of the evangelist to the church, the body of Christ, as you can see. Now, if you go with me to, I want you to open up your Bibles this morning and just be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We're talking about evangelism and outreach. Some people think that evangelist is just like having a title. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Are you there? Hallelujah. Come on and read with me. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So right there you see that God gave the evangelist. Who gave it? God. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why he gave it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want you to know that the evangelist is an extension of Jesus Christ himself. Not only the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, but right now we're talking about evangelism and outreach. So that is an extension of Jesus Christ himself. Evangelism is essential and has not and will not ever go out of style. The main goal in evangelism is soul winning. Somebody say soul winning.
Soul winning.
Somebody say soul winning requires work.
Soul winning requires work.
Hallelujah. Soul winning requires work. And do you all realize that one day we're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ, himself, ourselves, and give an account to the days that we had on this earth and the things that he called us to? Now go with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. We're going to dance around the scripture this morning. And we all should know this by heart. John 3 and 16. We're going to read 3:16 and verse 17. We should be able to repeat this without even looking. What do it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, I just say, soul winning requires work. So we have here say, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And gave is what? An action word. And that action word is what? Work. Glory to God. I think the Lord is getting ready to put somebody to work this morning. Hallelujah. Now go with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. I said we're going to dance around the scripture today. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Hallelujah. Talking about soul winning. That's the main requirement of the evangelist, is to win souls for Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." So if the wages mean the work of sin, it's going to bring us debt. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, "But the gift of God is eternal life." So that means we need to get out there. We need to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying and a lost world. Because we don't want them going to hell. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus came in the world to bring us back to Christ. And if we see our friends and our family continuing in sin, we know that that's going to bring them death. And somebody may be saying, all of us going to die. We're talking about an eternal death. Because those of us that die in Christ, and we're going to be raised up to rule and reign with Christ. But I'm talking about dying in sin. And when you go to hell, the Bible says that hell is a consuming fire. And what that means is that the fire of hell is never going to be put out. You may be saying, oh, we may burn for 50 years. But I beg you to differ. The Bible says you're going to burn with an everlasting fire. That's why we got to get this spirit of evangelism and outreach out there, that we can win people for Jesus Christ. Because God didn't send his son that they could die and go to hell. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're still dancing around the scripture this morning. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. It says, I want you to follow with me. Find Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. So you don't think that I'm just saying anything. I want you to put your eyes on the word of God today. "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send for laborers into his harvest." Right there is soul winning. Hallelujah. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said the harvest is plenteous. That means it's many, many souls out there. He said, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. Just imagine it in these terms. You know, when you go to plant vegetation, fruit, or whatever, and then the harvest, you put it down there as a seed, and eventually the harvest is going to grow up, and the harvest may grow up so plentiful, so bountiful, that it may take more than just you to pull those ears of corn, to pull those peas and those bananas up, whatever you planted. It may be you that just planted that there, but when the harvest comes, it's so big, you need some help. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Pray ye therefore to the Lord of harvest that he may send laborers," hallelujah, "into the harvest," amen, "into the vineyard." Hallelujah. Sometimes we're saying, oh God, we need help. It looks like it's only me out here telling somebody about Jesus. But you need to, this one, you need to aim your prayer in the right direction. On last Wednesday, we were talking about aiming your prayer, targeting your prayer. Because sometimes we're just shooting in midair. We're not even pointing in the right direction. Amen. But we want to aim our prayer. We want to begin to pray to the Lord of harvest, asking the Lord of harvest to send laborers out into the vineyard. Because Jesus Christ is coming back, church. Hallelujah. He's coming back. Every second, someone is dying. And everybody that's dying is not dying in Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. And we don't want to just go to people's funerals and say all kind of good stuff about them. That's not going to make them go to heaven. It is what it is. Amen? Hallelujah. So we need to aim our prayers correctly. We need to pray to the Lord of harvest and ask the Lord of harvest to send laborers out into the vineyard. People that's not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that's not afraid to be ridiculed as to what somebody else is going to say about them. Amen. Hallelujah. People that's not going to get tired in well doing. Because sometimes people begin to get weary in well doing. It seems like nothing is going on. So then that's when they want to throw in the towel. But a real laborer in the vineyard know that a harvest don't automatically come up in one day. Hallelujah. You may water. The one person may plant. The other person may water. But God gives the increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus needs laborers in the vineyard. I'm not talking about a church program. I'm not talking about a club. Amen. I'm talking about being connected with the true vine. Glory to God. Like he told Jeremiah to go and prophesy and to preach his word. And Jeremiah said, God, those people are looking crazy. They're acting funny. But God said, set your face to flip. That means put your face hard. And don't worry about what they say. Just give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. It's not for you to worry about how they look or how they react. You just tell them what thus said the Lord. Because the Bible said no man could come to the Father unless the Spirit of the Lord draw him. That's why we got to aim our prayers and ask the Spirit of the Lord to begin to draw them. Hallelujah. 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 We want to have as many souls for Jesus Christ as possible. Not us four and no more. Jesus said, go into all the world and command them to come in. He said that his house may be full. If his house ain't going to be full, why are we struggling to pay rent? Come on, somebody. Amen. Glory to God. I just go sit up, stand up a tent somewhere. Glory to God. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Evangelism and outreach, it takes some work. It's not just us sitting there, amen, saying that I'm saved. But how many know that Jesus saved you, that you may be a blessing to somebody else, that you can go and tell somebody else how Jesus brought you out of a horrible pit. Hallelujah. How he took your feet from the miry clay. Hallelujah. And plant your feet on the rock to stay. Hallelujah. Jesus did save you so you could look good. Jesus saved you so you could get your hands dirty. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when we get in heaven, we're going to wear a crown. Yeah, but down here, we need to roll up our sleeves. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Strap up our boots. Yeah, and go out on the battlefield for Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 and 19 say, go. Go is what? An action word. He didn't say stay. He said go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, go. You've been walking with me for these last 3 years. I have empowered you. I have equipped you to go into the nations, to baptize them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, baptism with the water is an outward expression of what we believe on the inside. But too many times people are baptized with water, but they're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. So you need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you ain't baptized with the Holy Ghost, you quit to throw in the towel. But I come to let you know today that the Bible says that the Holy Ghost is our comforter, our teacher, and our friend. He'll lead us and guide us into all truth. Amen. When you're feeling kind of down and you think that your work is in vain, that's why the Bible says the Holy Ghost is the comforter. He'll come right in and give you comforting word and say, pick your head up, square your back up. I am with you. that I have command you. And that's where we say, freely receive, freely give. Amen. See, they receive all that empowerment from Jesus Christ freely. They didn't have to pay no membership dues. They didn't have to pay no club fees. Whatever Jesus gave to them, he gave it to them freely. Glory to God, just like you and I. When he saved us and filled us with the Holy Ghost, we didn't pay no price for that. Jesus paid the price for it. That's why he told us to crisscross this nation and tell them, hallelujah. Teach them. Amen. Hallelujah. Baptize them. In other words, you are his agent here on earth. Glory to God. And you don't have to wait for nobody to validate you. Amen. Sometimes we're waiting for this person to validate us and that person to validate us. You know what validates you? Is when you became born again. Amen. When you said, Jesus, come in my heart. Come in this state. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died. You was buried. And you rose again on the third day. When you confess that with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, it validates you to crisscross this nation. Telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. Telling people about, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ is coming back. That the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 I remember when I was a little girl and I was going to church. I used to catch the bus out of Jitney. And it used to pass this church. And they had that sign out there. For the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I used to read that sign every Sunday morning. I had no idea what it meant. But I thank the Lord now. I know what it means. Hallelujah. 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 Evangelism and outreach, it demands, it requires work. And you may be saying, well, I will never be able to go all over the nations. What are you saying? Am I to go to Africa? Am I to go to Europe? Am I to go here? Am I to go there? You may not physically be able to go there. But it's somebody that God is sending. And you can undergird that person in prayer. Amen? Amen. You can undergird that person financially. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, this will not be a hard thing for you to do. Are you really, really supporting the things of God? That's why I said earlier, he that has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, you can play a part in going to the nations and teaching the nations and baptizing them and teaching them to observe the things that Jesus said we could do. How could we do that if we never crisscrossed the nation physically? Hallelujah. I just told you by praying for those people that God has commissioned to go physically. Hallelujah. By giving to them monetarily because it costs money. Amen. Hallelujah. The gospel is free, but the pipeline that is driven down, it costs a little bit of change. Amen. Hallelujah. So every time you get ready to buy something for yourself, lay a dollar aside for the work of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And there's many ways. Jesus said greater works that we should do that he did. And you think that Jesus was just saying that to make us feel good? No, he wasn't. Because we could do a greater work. Jesus only touched a certain geographical area. But these days, hallelujah, we can go all into the Americas, all over the continent. And sometimes not even physically, but by, you heard me say this before, even over the internet, amen? Hallelujah. You can go over the telephone. Glory to God. There's many ways to reach the lost. For Jesus. Many ways. And we say that evangelism. I said that evangelism is an extension of Jesus Christ himself. So that means the greater one lives down on the inside of you. And if the greater one lives on the inside of you, if we read the life of Jesus Christ, we don't find him sitting down doing nothing. Amen, somebody? Amen. So if you're an extension of Jesus, you got to be about it. Hallelujah. One must love God's people and understand the urgency to spread the good news of the gospel and not gossip. It is an urgency. It is totally necessary to be a people person in order for evangelism to be effective. Because see, God loved the people. Jesus loved the people, amen? You can't say that you're going to go out there and evangelize and you don't love God's people. You see, they told Jesus he was a wine bibber because he hung out with the winos. They told him he was a glutton, a person that eat too much, because he sat down and ate with those that they considered to be outcasts. And Jesus' response to them was, I didn't come to save those that are already healed. I came to save those that are lost. He said he didn't come for those that are well. He came for those that are sick. Why am I going to hang out with you if you're well? You don't have need of a physician. Somebody, Jesus is a great physician. Amen. And what does a physician do? He try to make his patients better. Amen. Glory to God. So you got to have a love for God's people. We got to learn how to look beyond their fault to meet their need. I'm glad about it because I was a wretch undone. But God looked beyond my fault. Amen. And he saw my need. Amen. So who am I to toot my nose up at somebody else? Who am I to be unforgiving to somebody else? Amen. When every time I keep messing up and keep messing up, even when I think I got it all together. Because the Bible says no good thing dwells within this flesh. See, when we think we're so good, God has to bring us down. Amen. It's no good thing dwells in the flesh. So just as Jesus keeps forgiving us, we got to keep on forgiving people to be about God's business. Hallelujah. Soul winning for Jesus. Love is the key ingredient for ministry. Ministry is simply work. Love is the key ingredient for work. How many of us go to work every day, 5 days a week, most of the time, and some of us don't even like where we at? But we gotta be there. And we gotta be there. Tell the truth about it. Because we ain't rich. But see, that's secular. Now when it comes to the things of God, ministry is work. You got to love the work of God. God is requiring something from us. He said, to whom much is given, much is required. So he deposited his anointing down on the inside of you. He deposited it inside of you. So it's much that's required of you. Hallelujah. Work in vain. If no love is applied, it's like work in vain. Come on, somebody. When I was in the Bahamas, I used this so it could relate to them. It's like making conch salad without the conch. And we know that's a waste. Cutting up the onion and the tomato and squeezing the lime and the pepper. But the bottom line is we don't have no conch. That's the main ingredient for conch salad. Amen? So all that we did was in vain. All the work that we're doing is in vain if love is not there. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Dance with me through the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity is love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt and have not love, it profited me nothing. See, you know how sometimes when we're riding here in our communities right here in the city of Miami, you know, sometimes we can be riding and we see those fellas and those women on the side of the road and they asking you for something, and sometimes it ain't no love. We just give them a dollar just to get them out of our face. So that's profiting you nothing. Profiting you nothing. You just well kept your dollar. Amen, somebody? I didn't say it. The word of God said it. He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I could give my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, it ain't going to profit me nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. I found myself last week going through the drive-thru, and this guy was there, and he was, you know, going from car to car, getting in whatever, and I didn't have no change, so when I got up to the window, I got my change, and I circled back around, and I went to him before he was approaching me first, before I got to the window, and a young lady, she bought him something, and she blew it at him. He went to the car, and he got it from her. And I looked at him and I smiled. I said, you got a blessing. He said, uh-huh. So when it was my time, got my change, and I went back to him. We started talking about the things of God. And he said, that's not luck, you know. I said, notice I didn't tell you luck. I said blessing. Because luck can come and go. The blessings of the Lord are perpetual. And I started telling them about the things of God, and I'm jumping a gun. Before I got to the window to make my order, I looked at him. I said, brother, I want to tell you, like the apostles in the Bible say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. He was telling me he had an accident that caused him to be in a predicament he in. And I say, silver and gold, I don't have to give you. I say, I don't have money, brother. I say, but such as I have, I give it to you. I have the love of God. I say, come, let me pray for you. And he extended his hand out. We connected hands. And people want to back waiting, but I don't care. I was about God's business. I began to pray for him. And he said, oh, my God, I feel chills going all up my body. I say, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray this day, after the day, your life will never be the same. I pray after the day, your body will be healed. I pray the day that your heart will be mended. I pray the day that God will give you life-changing circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to love God's people. In order for the spirit of evangelism and outreach to be effective. Because sometimes people need more than a dollar thrown at them. They need to know that Jesus Christ loved them. I told him, I said, brother, Jesus loves you. Do you believe that? He said, oh, yeah, I believe that. Where's your church located? And he started telling me he go to some church that's not far from there to get food. But before they give him the food, they give him the word for 30 minutes. I said, good. I said, well, you already hooked up with a church. I ain't trying to gain no members. I'm just trying to spread the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, because they come and go. Hallelujah, but saints of God, you're going to be a saint wherever you go. Hallelujah. Evangelism and outreach. Outreach is to reach or go beyond, to surpass the normal, in other words. It's a simple, systematic attempt to provide services beyond conventional limits as to a particular segment of a community. Systematic attempt to provide services beyond a conventional limit. You know, we come in church, we rightly divide the word of truth. We sing and we dance and we shout. We clap our hands. We preach. We prophesy. We lay hands on people. That's one aspect of it. But the unconventional part of it is, some people may not never come in inside the four walls of a church. So we have to use a different strategy, a different method to reach them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're talking about evangelism and outreach. Hallelujah. You know that we call the fivefold ministry, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor, and the teacher. We know that the the apostle is the foundational ministry, the building ministry. The prophetic is that point, that ministry that tell you what thus saith the Lord. Now notice that fifth finger. Most people, that middle finger is the longest with most people. Yours not the longest, and you just kind of out of the ordinary. And why is the middle finger the longest? It's the one that represents the evangelists. And evangelists have a more of a grace to go around. You can reach further around to tell the people about the love of Jesus Christ, to win the souls for the people, to reach out, that outreach ministry. So you got the grace to reach out further. Hallelujah. Many people don't believe that there is a God. Do you agree? And some people do believe that there is God, and there's Jesus, and there's the Holy Spirit. However, they choose to believe that somehow Jesus personally do not care for them. You ever met anybody like that? And say, well, why this, and why Jesus let this happen to me, and Jesus don't love me, and my child died, and my daddy's sick, and Jesus, oh, I'm not going to tell Jesus. He too busy. That's just a small thing. But Jesus do love you. Jesus do care for you. Each believer in Jesus should act as his hands extended. Each believer, beyond those that are ordained evangelists and ordained this, each believer is Jesus' hands extended. James chapter 1 and verse 27. We know that we say that outreach is to reach out or go beyond, surpass. Okay? James chapter 1. And verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now that's what you call outreach. Remember the fatherless. You may be saying, well, I don't have nothing to do in the church. Oh, I'm not on this team. I'm not on that community. Yes, you do have something. What about those that are fatherless? The Bible says, visit them and the widows in their affliction. Amen? See, a father is supposed to be a provider, a protector. And if a person is fatherless, that means they don't have a covering. So you reach out and you become their covering. Amen? You take the place of what they should have had. You act as God's hands extended. You see, when that widow don't have her husband anymore, that protector, that provider, that covering, what are we doing? Are we reaching out to her? That's outreach. Matthew's 25 and 35. Matthew's chapter 25 and verse 35. Jesus said, for when I was hungry and you gave me meat, I was thirsty and you gave me drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, I was in prison and you came unto me. Amen? That's outreach right there. Feed the hungry. Give them something. Now sometimes we just pray. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. Remember the scripture? When the guy came and knocked on his neighbor's door, he didn't have anything to eat. And his neighbor had food in there. And he said, don't bother me, I'm already in bed. Anybody ever read that? He said, come back tomorrow. Jesus said, don't tell them to come back tomorrow when you can feed them right then and there. That's outreach. I hope this blesses somebody. Hallelujah. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger. I wasn't around my own. I was in a strange country. I was in a strange city, a strange town. Hallelujah. I went somewhere yesterday and I kind of felt like a stranger because these people were not my culture. But Jesus said, when you're around strange people, when strange people come around you, you're not to make them feel like an outcast. That's outreach. Outreach. I was naked and you clothed me. Oh, I'm going to pray for you. Yeah. Give them something to wear. I was sick. Yeah, I'm going to be praying for you. Did you go visit them? Because sometimes that's encouragement. How many know that the human touch is so powerful? Sometimes you can just go to a sick person and sometimes you ain't even got nothing to say. You just rub them. Rub their head. And that means a whole lot. Hallelujah. Say, visit. Jesus said, when I was sick, you visited me. Not, I called you. Hey, I heard you was in the hospital. Hey, why not drop by? Or call their house. I heard you came home. Why not just drop by the house? Hallelujah. I was in prison and you came unto me. Child, that's their problem. They went and got locked up. And nobody told them to go do, you know. Jesus said, when I was in prison, you came to me. Tell the truth about it. See, we got to not preach to the choir only. But we got to go beyond the walls of the church. That's outreach. Remember, you are Jesus' hands extended on the earth. You can write a person, become their pen pal, give them words of encouragement while they are incarcerated. Yes, some of them did the crime and they got to pay the time. But then Jesus, he looked beyond our fault. Amen. And he keep meeting that need. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. See, Jesus said this. That's why I told you to open up your Bible. And then if we read on, the person says, well, Jesus, when did I feed you? When did I clothe you? When did I visit you in prison? Jesus said, when you have did it to the least of one of mine, you have did it unto me. Amen? So can you understand what I say when I say you are Jesus' hands extended? Glory to God. Jesus said, occupy until I come. That means be about it. Don't just sit there waiting for the grave getting up morning. Amen? We waiting on that grave getting up morning. Jesus ain't telling you to sit there and wait for no grave getting up morning. He said, occupy until I come. Glory to God. He tell you to sit there and wait for the great by and by. Amen? He tell you to sit there. That song sound good. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. He tell us to wait till we get to heaven and rejoice about a day it's going to be. He told us to be about it here on the earth. I'm coming, but I'm coming correct. Okay. Hallelujah. Heaven going to take care of itself. He told us to occupy on the earth. He told us to have dominion on the earth. That's another message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. And see, it's some of us, it's okay. Find 12 and 20. Romans 12 and 20. We got no problem giving hungry to our family and our good friends and our neighbors. We got no problem giving them drinking, giving them supply. But when it comes down to our enemy, that's another story. Jesus saying we got to love our enemies. Yeah. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. I don't know if you dropped by here for this today, but I believe you're in the right place at the right time, because I believe God is getting ready to stir your heart up to be about, hallelujah, your Father's business. To let you know how serious the work of God is. He tired of us coming into the church, jumping up, hallelujah, screaming, running here, running there, hallelujah, but we ain't doing nothing for Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a meeting after meeting. And sometimes we begin to think that we God. Everybody supposed to come to us. And we supposed to tell them this and tell them that so they can keep coming back. We need to tell them to go out into the world. To do what God commanded them to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And see, that's a part of that apostolic call. I don't need you to just keep coming back to hear a message. I'm here to equip you that you can make a change for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we're so spiritually constipated. We got so much word in us. But I came to give you a laxity of today. Push this word of God out. Do this word of God. Hallelujah. Because I'm responsible for my call. And I know that you are responsible for what you hear. Yeah. Romans chapter 12 and 20 say, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Hallelujah. Now, I don't like that nigga. Nah, Jesus ain't saying nothing like that. And she told lies on me. You don't know what confusion she stopped. Jesus said, feed your enemies. It ain't Jesus said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. When you do right about it, Jesus said, guess what? That he calls a fire on their own head. It ain't for you to try to fight them. You're supposed to love on them. You say you got the love of Jesus on the inside of you. Jesus said, guess what? Feed your enemies too. Hallelujah. Are you playing an active role in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. You don't have to answer. Hallelujah. That's personal between you and Jesus. I just want to provoke thought. Are you feeding the hungry? Providing drink for the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting those that's incarcerated, being friendly to strangers, caring for the fatherless, and supporting the widows. If your answers are yes, good for you. Keep up the good work. If your answers are no, then it's time for you to be about your Father's business. Hallelujah. Stop. You know what? Don't take it personal. Amen. Hallelujah. See, that's what the enemy wants us to do. Take it personal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The only thing we're supposed to be taking personal is the things of God. I ain't come to put nobody on Front Street. I came to speak forth the oracles of God. That's why I say you don't even have to raise your hand and say yes or no. That's between you and God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, Jesus said, go. Do this and do that and do this and do that. Do this and do that. So in other words, we need to stop assigning the Lord to go here and there. Know how we say, Lord, we want to sound so spiritual. Oh, glory to God. Drop by the hospital bed, Lord God, and check on sister so-and-so, Lord. And God, when you finish that, Lord God, go down to the nursing home, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. And remember my cousin, Father, that's been incarcerated for years, oh God. God, I need you to go down to Miami-Dade County Prison. You stop assigning God. You do it. You do it. You are his hands extended. He has empowered you and equipped you God. God has gave you power. Power to lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus and see them recover. Jesus has given you power to cast out demons. Glory to God. You see, people are bound up and you stay going about your business. Instead, you say, in the name of Jesus, loose him. Loose her. Glory to God. That's what you're talking about. Real outreach. Real mission. Real evangelism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we're supposed to be a kingdom people. And if we're a kingdom people, that means that we have authority. Jesus said, I gave you authority over all the unclean things. Glory to God. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of message. As I begin to look at this geographical location, that's another message. That's another teaching, rather. And we look. You know, God is just dealing with me with some things. And I'm just looking for just two people that can believe the things of God. And we'll see some change. We'll see some radical change. Glory to God. God had never designed this to be like this. Hallelujah. Like I said, God is dealing with me with some things. It's not supposed to be a church right there. A church right here. A church right there. A church right there. A church over there. It's not supposed to be like that. God dealing with me on that. One church within a certain radius should be able to clean up a whole slew of things. So what is the church really doing? It's like we just clapping our hands and just singing our soul. But I don't know about you. Something is building up on the inside of me. Glory to God. I believe I'm kingdom minded. I believe God is getting ready to affect change. But he's looking for two people that know how to strategize. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we're talking in the wrong things. That's why the Lord dropped in my spirit the other day. We got to learn how to aim our prayer. We got to learn how to target the principalities and the powers and the rulers of high and dark places. You tell me all these churches right here, and we still got the homeowners, we still got the dope dealers, we still got the drug addicts that stand right in front of this church and sell a dope. How much power do we have? How much power do we have? How much power do we have? Or are we just playing church? Don't you know the world is looking at us? That's another message I'm going to cut off. That's a teacher, not me. Because God wants y'all to learn some things. The world don't do nothing but walk up and down here and talk about us. Look how many churches it is. Look at the people still messed up and jacked up. We want to see who can play the highest, who can pull in the most people. That ain't about it, baby. That ain't about it. Hallelujah. See, what we're really doing is preaching to the choir. Because see, when we preach, it ought to be a life-changing word. That you can go on your job and your co-workers get saved. You can go in your neighborhood and your neighborhood get saved. That's change. Not the carpet. That's not change. I don't want to be a body. I don't want to be no part of it. I don't want to be no part of it. If I never have another church, that's fine by me. Because guess what? Ain't nobody going to stop me from telling somebody about the things of God. No matter where I am. Ain't nobody going to stop me from laying hands on the sick. No matter where I am. Nobody going to stop me from clothing the naked. And giving food to the hungry. Jesus said his kingdom. Too many times in the church, we begin to build our own little kingdom. It ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing to do with Jesus. How many people get saved? Jesus said, greater works. How many eyes are coming open? Ain't got time telling nobody, follow me over here, follow me over there, and I'm doing this revival, and I'm doing that, and ain't nobody changing. It's got to be some type of change. It's got to be some type of change. Got to be some type of change. Glory to God. We need to be reaching out into regions that haven't been tapped yet. We need to go into untapped regions. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's so much power on the inside of us.
Yes.
You see, when a church comes into a community,
yes,
situations are to change.
Right.
Situations are to change.
Amen.
The people shouldn't stay where they are.
Right.
Not with so many churches.
Amen.
People shouldn't even want to get high no more.
Right.
Jesus said, my kingdom suffer violence. And violence take it back by force.
Yes.
You can't play with the devil. The devil ain't playing with you.
Right.
You got to be able to go in there and survey the land.
Yes. Yes.
You got to be able to see what's going on.
Yes.
I'm not talking about with your natural eyes, with your spiritual eyes.
Right. Yes.
Remember Joshua and Caleb.
Yes.
When Moses sent them over to Canaan, the land that's flowing with milk and honey.
Yes.
They didn't just go into Canaan. What he did, he sent some spies over there to look at the land. They checked it out.
Yes.
And they came back and they made a report.
Yes.
Are you hearing what the Holy Ghost is saying? It's time for some strategic planning.
Yes.
For God so loved the world.
Yes.
He didn't come just for us to set up shop.
Right.
Occupy. 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 Sometimes we wonder why an area is not flourishing. Tap into the spirit realm.
Yes.
Tap into the spirit realm. Ask God to show you some things.
Yes.
I'm going to cut off right here because that's a teaching. And I don't want to jump the gun. But God began to show me something. Put something down in my spirit, man, on Friday night. Something got to be done. Some strategic spiritual mapping got to be done. We're responsible for what we hear. We're responsible for what we hear. Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God. Glory to God. If you look at the Bible, it said it went from house to house, breaking bread. And within the little houses, many souls were saved. Many miracles were worked. Amen?
Amen.
But as God increases us and bless us, we begin to forget about the true mission. Understand? As God begin to increase us and bless us, we forget about the true purpose, the true meaning. Mm. Anywhere where God's people are, a great change ought to take place. A great change ought to take place. If it ain't no great change taking place, we need to go back to the drawing table.
Yeah.
We need to get back down on our knees.
Yeah. Right.
You know what? We done got so cute and so sophisticated that we throw money at the preacher.
Yeah.
We need to be throwing ourselves at the altar.
Yeah.
Come back to the altar.
Yeah.
Come back to the altar.
Yeah.
God, I'm missing it. I need power. Because you told me once I get saved, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You say, I give you. He say, once you get saved and full of the Holy Ghost, he say, he give you power.
Yes.
Don't be scared. Just get back down to the altar.
Yes.
And say, Lord God, where's that power? Where's that power that you're talking about?
Yes.
Maybe I don't know how to tap into it.
Yes.
But I come down to this altar and humble myself.
Yes, Lord.
For power.
Yes.
I never want to get lifted too high.
Yes.
That I can't deserve the things of God.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't want to be missing it. When I feel like I'm missing it, I got to go back down on my knees.
Yes. Yes.
I got to say, Lord God, what's going on?
Yes.
You got to speak to your servant.
Yes, Lord.
You got to show me something, Lord.
Because yes,
I know it ought not be like this. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I asked the church from last month that we give up meat on Wednesday until the end of this month. And I'm wondering, are we still there? Are we still in consecration? Because I believe God want to use this body of Christ. He want to use the body of Christ, period. But I know he want to use this body of Christ like a little remnant. Somebody that they ain't never heard of, but got that power to effect change for Jesus. But we got to bring ourselves to the altar. We got to give up something in order for the power of the Holy Ghost to be imparted down on the inside of us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we read about the Apostle Paul just passing by somebody and his shadow alone was so anointed till a person got healed. Come on now, don't you want that? Jesus. 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 See, we so conditioned and so programmed. If I don't see nobody else say hallelujah, then I'm not going to say hallelujah. And you know the Lord moving on you. If I don't see nobody else go down to the altar, then I'm not going down. When you know the Holy Ghost is prompting you. That's what you call quenching the spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God want to do something here. That's why I can't get weary and well doing. Hallelujah. Sometimes we get a little tiresome. But I thank God that I read the word. That I can pull the word back out in those times. Hallelujah. Because I know I got an assignment from God. And I can't be moving. I can't be shaped. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because this is not about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said your body should become a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Hallelujah. It's yet not I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives down on the inside of me. Hallelujah. So what are you saying, Pastor? It's not me living. Hallelujah. Jesus should be living down on the inside of you. You ought to forget about yourself. Hallelujah. And come into the things of God. Hallelujah. Forget about yourself this week and begin to tap into the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And you want to see yokes destroyed. You want to see burdens lifted. You want to see shackles broke. Hallelujah. Come on and tap into the things of God. Come on and tap into the things of God. If you don't put nothing in it, you can't get nothing out of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We got to move into that place where we begin to dedicate our life and consecrate our life. Hallelujah. They asked me to speak on, hear of my Lord. Send me, I'll go. Hallelujah. Sometimes you think that when you go, that everything going to be a bed of roses. Everything ain't going to be no bed of roses. Sometimes you're going to be rejected. Sometimes you're going to be despised. Sometimes you're going to be criticized. You're going to be mocked on. You may, your name may never get on the internet. You may never be called to speak at a great conference. But what you say, here am I, Lord. Send me, I go. You'll go, you'll go. You'll go to win the loss at any cost. Hallelujah. You'll say, long as the Lord is with me, I'll go. I'll go. Hallelujah. They had a song say, I may be motherless, but I'll go. I may be fatherless, but I'll go. If the Lord needs somebody, here am I, Lord, I go. Paul said you got to be worthy of the vocation in which you were called. You can't want God to make you a supervisor and you are not worthy of it. You can't expect God to make you a general and you are not worthy of it. You got to be qualified. You don't qualify yourself. God to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've never seen no way in the Bible when Jesus Christ showed up on the scene and things stayed the same. When Jesus showed up on the scene, whoever was blind, their eyes opened. Whoever was lame, they began to walk. Whoever had demons in them, they had to be cast out. Whoever was an unbeliever became a believer. And we say we are his hands extended. So something ought to change. Jesus ain't never went nowhere and something stayed the same. Even with the prostitute at the well. He said, woman, if you know who I am. And he began to tell her certain things. And the Bible says she ran through the whole town telling everybody about Jesus. Jesus had never went nowhere and things stayed the same. If the situation was messed up, it had to straighten up. The world ought to be subject to you and not you subject to the world. Hallelujah. 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 At this time, hallelujah. Those of you that's desiring of taking communion, hallelujah. We weren't here on last Sunday. You could come around the altar. The Bible said before you partake of his body and his blood, hallelujah, the symbolism of his body and his blood, we ought to confess our faults because we got to partake of it with a clean heart. Hallelujah. This is just something that we started this year.